Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
All right, guys, welcome down to episode 62 of the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast. This is your intro with myself, Rick Shields, and Guy. We cover a lot today.
Yeah.
We even talk about golf.
Possibly too much golf, if you ask me.
So if you're ready for a golf podcast today, sit back and relax. We also cover why Guy got on people's nerves.
Yes.
And why I made a big mistake.
You did. This is a two-parter today, I would say. The first section is golf-centric. It's quite serious. It's Rick being very knowledgeable and professional. Second half, we swear, or I swear, let my hair down.
Did swear.
I swore loads today, real loads of swear. No, I didn't really. You'll see why. I swore.
I might bleep some of that out.
Okay, well, bleep it if you want. I also got upset. Nearly quit the podcast again. That's two times now in last month. So
I know. I'm thinking about setting up a car review channel.
Yeah.
And we talk about the phenomenal contributions to you guys with Walk 18. It's been amazing. And how I managed to sneak a little cheeky beer in before my curry order.
Yeah. I'm not sure if today's a good one or not. What do you think?
My heart tells me it was amazing.
Does it?
Yeah.
Wow.
The listeners will probably tell me it's not. But either way, sit back to an action-packed 1 hour over episode of the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast. Rock, paper, scissors?
I'm gonna let you, no. You can have it today because I think you put in a good shift.
Thanks.
So
start the jingle in 3, 2, 1. Welcome back to the Rick Shields podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Rick Shields. I'm here with producer Guy. We're in a slightly different location today. It feels a bit different, but I'm excited for another action-packed podcast.
It does feel a bit different. Will it be as action-packed as last week's?
Well, I must admit, sitting here last Monday, never did I expect in my wildest dreams that people would have so much interest to the clothes that are in my wardrobe.
I can't believe how big it went. I rang you on Monday morning. Oh, no, sorry, I texted you. And obviously, which we said about last week, and you were a little bit like, I'm not sure. And then by Tuesday, it was trending number 4 and in the UK on YouTube.
Well, I've got to give it to you, right?
I don't want to say marketing genius. I don't want to put words in your mouth. But if that's what you think, then I'll happily take it.
Content marketing genius. I don't know what to do with my leg today. No, unbelievable.
Get chilled.
Obviously, people found it a very fascinating topic. Guys, if you don't know what we're talking about, it's my very professional and amicable split with Nike with regarding clothing and apparel and footwear, and basically the reasons why. And we'd made a video about it as well. We talked about it in the podcast. We released it on the main channel, and like Guy went said, number 4 on trending. Was it something like 470,000 views in 24 hours?
Yes, I think it was.
So it's like our biggest, fastest growing video ever in 24 hours. And the feedback in whole was very positive. The fact that it was honest and transparent. And that's kind of what we wanted to do. And that's the reason why we even set up the podcast in the first place, was having that level of honesty and transparency with the audience that we kind of, certainly I felt like I lacked with YouTube and Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. The podcast allows us to just sit back, chill, vibe, and talk for, you know.
We do vibe, don't we?
Talk about why people cared about what socks I put on in the morning.
Well, what's strange is, I'm just looking at some numbers now, it's had nearly 700,000 views, that video, right? It's been watched for 3.5 million minutes. So some simple maths would say that is 58,000 hours, which is 2,500 days worth.
Nice.
So that's been watched, that video, altogether for 2,500 days.
And with a couple of nice strong adverts in there, it might pay for the Nike contract.
Exactly. Always thinking.
No, honestly, the feedback was amazing. I'm so glad people enjoyed the fact that, you know, it was just being honest and even made it into some news articles and all sorts. But yeah, it was a crazy week and, you know, that's kind of over the bridge and far away. We've had lots of talks about potential merch, clothing lines, potential other partners. So stay tuned because some exciting things in the pipeline for sure.
Do you want to get on today's show?
Let's do it.
Because as people will see from the title, I've already planned out the title before the show, which is very rare. Normally we do it and then I'll think of something, or we'll think of something that kind of sounds quite clickbaity, let's be honest. And last week proved that clickbait work. So for our hardcore listeners, don't worry, every week's still going to be decent content. But the titles need to be strong to get new people in.
Yeah.
So this week, Rick, I'm going to go back to a topic. What's it called? Not a topic. Mine's gone blank. A feature.
Okay.
A feature we used to do years ago. Well, not years ago. When it feels like years ago, 57 episodes ago, where I would do Change My Mind.
Ooh. Okay. And
I think you have potentially made a huge mistake.
Don't tell me this now.
Yeah.
Okay, go on. Let's talk.
Now, you're in a quest for distance, aren't you?
You could call it that.
For speed and for distance.
Yeah.
And the viewers will have seen the first video already, hopefully.
Yeah, so 5 weeks ago we released a video, because it's getting close to the six-week kind of recap, basically, where I went on a mission to try and increase my clubhead speed from what is currently 110 miles per hour to trying to get to closer to 115 miles per hour.
Yes. And I would think, well, obviously you, I would know, I reckon I probably know your game as well as anybody.
You've seen me hit more shots than anybody else in the world.
Right. And over the last 12 months or so, I think your driving has come on leaps and bounds.
Thank you.
When we would film videos before, or we'd play, or whatever it might be, you would either be a bomber, or massive snap up left, occasionally kind of block right, but it was fairly wayward, but long.
Yeah.
As you alluded to in the first video, you've lost distance a little bit. Not much, but a little bit of speed, a little bit of distance. But I definitely think you've gained a lot of accuracy. It's very rare 100%. That you miss a fairway or miss it by much.
Yeah.
So I think, although this has been a good video, the first one was a good video, and the second one where you follow up and give all your feedback hopefully will be another good video. So we've got a couple of good videos from it. I think this quest for speed and for distance is a massive mistake for your game.
Okay.
And I want to kind of, again, it's a little bit devil's advocate in this.
Coach guy.
But a little bit of why I think it's a bad move. So, launch monitors are amazing pieces of kit, aren't they?
Yes.
You know as well as anybody how beneficial they are for coaching, for club reviews, for seeing gains, stuff like that.
Yeah. Club fitting.
You couldn't go back to a time now they didn't exist, could you?
You couldn't imagine a world where you can't get spin rates and ball speed and distance.
Exactly.
And all that.
But my issue, potentially, certainly for you a little bit, is are they becoming an ego inflator?
Mm.
So what I mean by that is, before launch monitors were a thing, if you could only really golf someone's game by what you would see with your eye, wouldn't you?
Correct.
So if me and you were playing and I was out driving you, or you were driving me, you would literally say you hit it further than me or whatever, because it's what you're seeing on the golf course. But what now, we're so much more focused on clubhead speed and ball speed. Certainly clubhead speed is what you're really looking for, aren't you? But I've made some notes here, and I'm hoping I'm going to get this out as well as I planned it over the weekend when I rehearsed it in my bedroom. Because it was so good. They wouldn't have had a leg to stand on. It was that good. Before launch monitors, we didn't really know what clubhead speed, or we didn't know ball speed.
Yeah.
And when playing what I call real golf, it was very much about where the ball went and your total distance. But we know on the golf course, often hitting the fairway will result in more distance, because obviously it's going to bounce a little bit more, etc. And certainly when playing on the golf course, certainly with this hole's a slight little bit, even a slight dog leg, hitting it straight over that line would therefore get more distance, or certainly put you in close to the hole for your next shot. So being accurate on the golf course can actually aid with distance, obviously, big time, can't it? Certainly at the golf course I grew up at, it's very hilly. So hitting on certain lines where you get certain bounce or certain slopes would result in more distance. So if it's a slight dog leg left, let's say, I haven't hit one 250, you might go 260. But if you go further right and I go over the tighter line, I've got a much shorter shot in. So I'm perceived as being a longer hitter.
Hence tiger line.
Exactly. Even though you've hit the golf ball further, it appears I've hit it further because of the line. Whereas obviously on launch monitors, it's very much about speed, isn't it?
It's black and white. I hit it 160 miles per hour, you hit it 162 miles per hour, let's say.
Yes. I think with this whole kind of launch monitor thing now and speed, and certainly again clubhead speed, I think we're focusing too much on the speed and not the distance. So I've just done some simple maths here. So a lot of people listening will know what, obviously, ball speed is. It's how fast the ball comes off the face. Clubhead speed is how fast you're swinging the golf club. And then we have what's called smash factor, which is quite simply, it's your ball speed divided by your clubhead speed. And it's typically seen that 1.5 roughly is the optimum with the golf club and golf balls we use today. You can get a bit more, whatever, but that's roughly where we would love to be at, where tour pros are.
Yeah.
If you're swinging at 117 miles an hour, which is much quicker than you are now, we'd love to be, but your smash factor dropped down to at 1.39, which I've seen some of your shots the other day did
do. You have.
That would give you a ball speed of 162.
Okay.
However, a clubhead speed of 112, which is 5 miles an hour slower, which is a lot slower,
yeah,
but at a 1.47 smash factor would give you a 164 ball speed, and therefore would be a longer golf shot if we're going off the same spin and launch and etc. So out of those two, on the golf course, the slower swing speed player will be hitting it further, probably more likely than not. But on a flight, on a TrackMan or on a GC quad, if you're going for just for clubhead speed, you're going to be more impressed by the 117, aren't we? And do we think that by you changing your speed to be trying to get so much faster and possibly miss the face more and hitting it more off the toe and off the heel, you're going to lose ball speed and therefore end up losing distance?
Is that where we're at?
That's where we're at.
Okay. So let's go a little bit on this journey, just pad it out a touch more. I've never, ever, ever been worried about distance in my whole golf life. Even when I was a junior, going through college, even when I turned professional for the first time, I never, ever felt like I was short. I always felt like I wasn't the longest. Obviously, you play with golfers that just, you know, because of their size and their build and their clubhead speed, do hit it further. But in general, there's very little times where I would ever, ever be concerned about my distance. And as Guy rightly said, I think as we've been out on the golf course a lot more filming, certainly the last couple of years, and to be honest, I spent much less time on launch monitors. I know people might find that hard to believe, but when I was coaching a lot more, when I was at Trafford or Lytham or Prairie, in between lessons or even hitting shots as demonstrations for clients or after coaching, I would spend time hitting balls on launch monitors much more probably one than what I do now. And you're right, launch monitor numbers, I was very good at, you know, I knew what those numbers were. I could almost, you know, somewhat predict as soon as I hit a shot what the clubhead speed was, what the ball speed would be, and what the distance would be. And I think in the last year, there's been probably three or four things that have made me want to try and increase my speed.
Okay.
Number one, you.
Thank you.
So when we played golf a couple of times last year, I never, ever, ever thought I was short.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't play much golf.
No.
And annoyingly, you were hitting it longer than me.
Mm-hmm.
Fact.
Yeah.
12 yards.
Yeah, well.
And Harry, one of our editors, who's here now, he says we don't talk about this enough on the podcast.
He doesn't get enough airtime, does he?
So I'm going to give him a little shout out. Look, he's nodding in the background. We played at Formby Hall, and completely out of the blue, I hit a decent tee shot, I did. I kind of played it down, but it was a nice tee shot. You stood up and you hit it famously 12 yards past me.
Yeah.
Harry stood up and famously, well, unfamously, but famous now, hit it probably 12 yards past Guy.
So 24 past
yards
you.
Past me. And what's your handicap? Doesn't have one. Doesn't play golf. Using one of my drivers, stands up there with his horrible grip and his...
Disgusting grip.
And smashes it 24 yards past me.
Yeah, but then what did Harry do in his next shot?
Doesn't matter after that.
Shanked it out of bounds.
But he would have been in prime position.
Yes.
So that was one of the things that definitely reminded, you know, stuck in my mind, let's say. So it's kind of partly your fault.
Yeah.
And then we played here at the Marriott, and again, famously, even though I beat you.
That's the thing, so you're forgetting that. You beat me, and you played well.
That day. I played unbelievable. I was like 4 under par or something stupid the match that we played, and beat you, yes. But you hit it past me too many times. So we talk about what's the right word? Ego on launch monitors. I would actually say a lot of this ego started out on the golf course.
It could have done, but let's just say I did outdrive on the first hole, whatever, and then it's in your head then. You might try and swing faster to try and get past me, but then by swinging faster and making it a less efficient swing and missing the middle of the face and therefore losing distance, so you're swinging it faster but actually going to get less distance.
I'll come back to that in a minute. The next time, more recently, do you remember Trafford Golf Centre? Either was it after Christmas or around Christmas, and we were going to do a Top Tracer video with Matt.
Yes.
And we didn't actually release the video in the end.
I remember this.
And I beat him on the wedges, which is very rare for me. And maybe that's something I played down in my mind. Now, Matt Fryer. Matt.
He's a papa.
Literally, when I talk about not being worried about distance, I've never been worried about Matt. Like, Matt Fryer. Like, he hits it nowhere. Like, he literally paps this little fadey, horrible thing down the fairway. He finds fairways, yes. But it was horrible. We stood there at Trafford, and he pummeled me on distance. Pummeled me.
But what was his club head speed? Was it less than yours?
No, it was more.
Oh, was it
slightly
more?
He was getting ridiculously faster ball speed, which again I'll come on to in a minute. And he was at, and I just couldn't compete. And I was like, what the hell? And then the last thing, possibly more kind of ego. I don't know. Maybe with the things like Bryson and distance on tour becoming much more of a talking point with Rory and DJ and Bryson, and even full-time players like Peter Finch, increasing club head speed significantly. It was like, whoa, what the hell? If I don't do something now, am I going to look back in 2 years and regret not trying to increase my speed? Like, at the moment, I feel like I'm slightly falling back on a lot of players. If I don't do something now, is it going to become too late? That was my mindset. So I started doing some more training, started to get stronger, started doing speed sticks, which I'm still in the process of right now. And you are right. Right now, as I record this podcast and record the video soon to be released on the hitting of shots, I am hitting the golf ball terribly.
Have you lost distance?
On average, yeah. Mm. On average. When it goes right, though, at the moment, it's ridiculously longer. So, let a little teaser. The full video will be coming out pretty soon, in the next couple of weeks. I reckon now I've upped my club head speed to roundabout. I've seen on the launch monitor speeds of like 117 miles per hour, like you said. What I've definitely not translated it to yet is extra ball speed,
which is then going to be extra distance.
Correct. I've not even literally because I can't hit the middle of the club face at the moment.
That's what I'm thinking. Is that a mistake, though? Are you going to find the middle of the face with that speed? Have you got the time to practice, etc.?
So, this is where I reckon then I've possibly done one mistake.
Okay.
So, at the moment, in the month of February, in the last 5 weeks, there's been a lot going on. So, for example, I've homeschooling, lockdown and homeschooling. So being at home, being with the family a lot more is definitely more of a priority in my life because obviously it's hard with 3 kids at home for my wife and stuff. Then we're trying to work out more. So I've been getting up much earlier in the morning, doing workouts before the kids get up. Not every day, but kind of 3 to 5 times a week. I've then decided to try and walk 4 miles every single day, which again is time consuming, and then also trying to do the speed stick training, plus trying to make videos, plus trying to do a podcast. Now, the one thing that definitely has taken a massive, massive backseat in all of this is hitting golf shots.
Yeah,
like I have hardly hit any golf shots in this period of time, apart from the videos that we've been making. But because of that, I've upped my club head speed. I've got stronger. I've got faster. I'm hitting the ball harder, let's say, or hitting at it harder. But at the moment, because I have literally been doing next to no golf shot practice, my strike is horrendous. So I don't think I've made a mistake yet. But if I was to look back at it and think, what would I have done differently in the last 5 weeks? That would be it. I would have hit more golf shots.
Yeah.
I reckon in 2 or 3 weeks, when I can hit more golf shots, or maybe I'm not doing the walk 18s or spending as much time at home when the kids start to go back, shall I say, when they go back to school pretty soon, and hopefully we get to get on the golf course at the end of March, I honestly believe I can generate that club head speed into ball speed and get more distance. Whether it'll last, whether I'll hit more fairways, whether I'll miss it more, time will tell.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as I outdrive you again, outdrive Harry, outdrive Matt Fryer, start to get closer to Bryson, DJ, Rory.
But my plan is to annoy you by swinging it slower than you, but being more efficient and still out driving you.
I think what I'm going to get to, I think I can get my maximum club head speed up to about 120. But I think my normal speed will be more like 115. and I can hit middle.
Yeah, because the swing speed in at home in the sim is so different to a swing on the golf course without a bounds, left, water, right, in a match, etc.
But the idea at the moment is I'm literally just training for speed. So then once I get the speed, then I can control it.
I mean, I wish you the best of luck with that. I'm just intrigued. And for the purpose of this title of the podcast, I think you've made a huge mistake. Speaking of playing golf in a match, though, a gentleman called Nick Kay wrote in the Facebook group, so the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast, which is a Facebook group. Join it. Why not? 55,000 members now.
Get involved.
And he said, when golf courses are open in England, how long will we have to wait before it's a Rick versus Guy course vlog? Give the people what they want. So I then commented and said, if this comment, my own comment, gets 100 likes.
Which I think you knew it was going to get 100 likes.
Yeah. I'll play Rick Shields and film it for the second YouTube channel, which is the Rick Shields Golf Show on YouTube.
Which is doing unbelievable at the moment, by the way.
It is.
Big shout out to Matt, one of our other editors as well. He's been putting a lot of work and effort into that. We're on 45,000 subscribers now, pretty much.
And this is filmed as we speak. So if you listen to this in audio-wise in the car, on a run or something, you can check out clips on that channel. That comment got 354 likes.
Wow, people want it.
So people want to see me play you. Now, I'm going to hold my hand.
As long as we get 354 views on the video.
Then it's, yeah, exactly. But there's a caveat to that. You hit a lot of golf balls.
Oh, here we
you're
go.
You're practicing your club head speed. You're working out. Hitting golf balls is your life. I haven't hit a golf ball since well before lockdown. So what we might do, we said, is possibly have a kind of, do a bonus pod where we might play a few holes, get back into swing of it, put that as like a little bonus podcast treat on a Thursday treat, let's say.
Why not?
And then we can ramp it up. I'll have a few range sessions, get rid of the early extension, and I can beat you, potentially.
What's the current scores on the doors, you versus me?
Probably about 3-0 to you, to be fair.
I've beat you every time.
But you have, and I'll hold my hand up to that. They've been good games.
Really good.
The Grange Park nine holes, which is my old golf course, you beat me at. And I think it was on the last. We played at Dunham Forest. I was winning most that match, and you won on the last. Was it Dunham Forest? Or Delamere Forest, yeah, sorry. Did you win on the last?
Yeah, I did.
Again. And I was winning most of that match, and you won. We played here.
Yeah.
Where you played really, really well. I played well again, but you beat me. Is that it?
We played at Formby, I suppose.
Yeah, I was horrendous at Formby.
Yeah, battered you then.
You did batter me then.
So 4-0.
4-0. But it's been close. And and that's always with me just turning up, not using my own clubs, bits and bats. I'll be coming to this one absolutely proper. I'll have metal spike shoes on.
Wow.
Spur glove in my bag. Loads of tees. Too many tees.
Clubs cleaned?
Absolutely cleaned. Grips cleaned. Speaking of clubs, did you see that thing up on Instagram? The story of so I've got a new putter. I've currently got a Spider.
Oh yeah,
unbelievable. So I've not got my thing now, but I think I had over 1,000 votes.
So explain it to everyone. Sorry.
So I've been using a tailor-made Spider putter for a while. It's obviously one of Rick's. It was a Spider X copper. I love it to bits. Didn't matter about the colour, which isn't a big deal breaker, is it? And I'm not a big fan of the colour of it, which doesn't mean anything. But honestly, I've now got this new two ball with a line on it. Two balls, my favourite putter ever. The Spider shape is my favourite shape ever. So the 2-in-1 should be a match made in heaven.
And that's kind of what I had the same opinion when we released the video last week.
Exactly. So I've got both. Put a little picture on my Instagram and just a little vote and said which should I use. It was literally 50-50. And I think I had 1,500, over 1,000 votes. And it was like 500 and then 502 or something. So it still worked out 50-50. So I'm not sure. Don't know what to do.
Talking about golf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we not like us. Let's talk about mini egg bars.
I watched a bit last night.
See, I didn't watch any of it, so talk to me in layman's terms.
So it was the Genesis Open.
Yes.
At Riviera. So Tiger's golf. I don't know. I don't understand what his involvement is, though.
Is it just his name, just to really
I think he just is the host of it, basically. Riviera looks insane. It's one of those courses where I believe, obviously never been to it, it's near Hollywood. It's not long. It's not particularly massively well protected, but the scores are never ridiculous round there because it's so well designed. Like, the bunkers are really well placed. The greens are unbelievably undulating and fast and things like that. So I'm not going to lie to anybody listening. I didn't watch every single day.
How much did you watch?
Last five holes.
Standard.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
Well, it is.
It is?
It actually is. So I tuned in because, genuinely, I saw on Twitter that Tony Finau had a chance of winning. Now, if you don't know Tony Finau, he is an unbelievable player out on tour. But for whatever reason, he's been now dubbed the Nearly Man.
Has he won once on tour, I think in 2017 or something?
A long time ago. Considering he is up there week after week. He has won $22 million in earnings, yet only won one event.
He's always up there in the majors, isn't he?
Always. He is one of the best each-way bets you could ever put on. I think your odds for him would just be ridiculous. But he doesn't get the wins. Like, he just doesn't win. Now, typically, there's no massive reason behind that. It's not like he massively folds. It's not like he leads on the final day and shoots 77. Yeah. It's not like he goes battle head-to-head with anybody and just doesn't, you know, falls down or whatever it may be. It's just he doesn't shoot low than everyone else.
Is that sometimes, this year, I don't really watch enough golf on tour, as I've said many a time to know. Is it almost that he's so consistent that it appears like he is a bottler, if that makes sense?
Possibly, because his name is at the top.
Exactly,
so
he's always up there.
I would almost put Rory in the same bracket as that, because Rory also gets quite a bad rep for not closing out, because he's always up there, but he doesn't win enough.
Yeah.
But he's obviously won a lot, a lot more than Tony Finau. But it's just that Rory's up there so, so often.
But suppose you're going to get one person every week on the PGA Tour who plays pretty much the best week of their life. So it's hard to win. Obviously, it's, you know, of course it is. But if you're playing well consistently all the time, you're going to finish second, fifth, third, tenth. Like, exactly. It might look like you're a bit of a bottler, but is it just the fact that you're so good, you're always there or thereabouts?
And I would agree with that until I watched what I watched last night. So Sam Burns, who I don't know loads about, but was leading the tournament pretty much till like the 15th hole. All week, he played amazing. He kind of stumbled off a little bit. Tony Finau made a silly bogey on the back nine, and then Max Homa was kind of there and thereabouts as well. Sam, unfortunately, dropped out. Tony Finau finished well, birdied 17, I think he birdied 16, 17, and then parred the 18th. Max Homa birdied 17, unbelievable birdie from the bunker, and literally he was, so him and Tony Finau on the last hole were level on 11 under, I believe, or 12 under. Max Homa in front of Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods on the balcony.
Oh my days.
Did you see Tiger, by the way?
No, I'm not seen any of it at all.
He didn't look well.
Did he not?
No.
In what way?
Like tired, like really, really like drained. Like, I'll show you a picture.
I think I saw a meme actually. I think I saw a meme.
He looked, you know, not well. And he said about, I don't think I've got a screenshot on this phone. He talked about the fact that he's, you know, going through a lot of MRI scans and medications, things like that. But he really didn't look particularly well. But anyway, so Max Homa on the last hole hits. I mean, how they play under this pressure is beyond me.
I can't get my head around that.
It is beyond me. Stood on the 18th hole, absolutely striped on down the middle of the fairway. Unbelievable.
Is it par four?
Lovely hole, like really picturesque. He, I think, had about 140 yards left into the last hole. This is Max Homa.
Yeah.
Sticks it to 3.5 feet. Right.
Oh my days.
So he has that putt to win. So everybody just thinks Tony shot 64. He shot 6 under, the lowest round of the
day. So he can't be a bottler then, can he?
Well, that's what was said like yesterday. But then I'll tell you a bit more about the kind of playoff. So basically, Max Homa had the 3.5 footer to win the tournament. You know, Tony Finau was going to come second again, and it was kind of, you know, inevitable. And I kind of thought I jinxed him, because I put a few things on Twitter thinking, come on, Tony, you know, it's happening, because it seemed like he was going to do it.
Yeah.
Certainly when Max Homa stuck it in the bunker on 17, because at the point of that time, Tony Finau was in the clubhouse and one ahead. Max Homa missed the 3.5 footer, lipped out. And then you think, is he the bottler, right? No, he didn't bottle it. So they went to the 10th hole.
They both par it then?
Both par the 9th hole, the 18th. So they both finish at, I think it was 11 under, let's say. Sam Burns was one back. So they play the playoff hole, the 10th hole, I believe the first hole was. It's a really short par four, really tricky hole. But the stats prove that if you go for it, you make a better score than laying up. So they both pretty much go for it. Tony hits his perfect tee shot in this lovely little layup area, only 20 yards from the green, right? Max Homa pulls it left.
Right.
It gets stuck right next to a tree.
Like, so now you're thinking it's Finau's.
Like, literally, it looks dead. Now, on closer inspection, you think it's Tony Finau's now. Like, there's no way Max Homa's going to get up and down from here. Tony Finau's going to get up and down and, you know, win. This is it. It's happening. Max Homa gets up there, hoods the iron, stands basically sideways, and basically hooks the ball from next to this tree onto the green. Like, ridiculous. ridiculous, ridiculous shot, right?
Yeah.
Tony Finau plays a fairly average chip to about eight foot or something. Max makes par. Tony Finau's got this putt to win.
This is for birdie to win.
Still the first hole in playoff. This is to win. Missed.
Right.
Quite badly, right? Next hole, par three. Again, Tony Finau, you think he's in the driving seat, pulls it short side into a bunker, mm-hmm. right? Max Homer kind of plays aggressive, goes for the pin. He makes par. Tony Finau makes bogey. Max wins.
Wow.
So it's like, you had it. You shot 64 to get in the playoff. Like, you were there.
So do you think it is in his head then, or is it just unlucky or what?
I think the shot on the path, I don't know. In it, obviously, it's hard to say. He could have made an easy up and down on the first playoff hole, in my opinion. Certainly where Max Homer was. Max was in such a bad position, Tony Finau kind of relaxed. But on the par three, to short side himself so badly, pressure, innit? Pressure's real.
I literally think golf is the most daunting sport ever when you're playing well. So when me and you play our match, even if we're on the last hole and I need to hole a putt to win and it's a six-footer, I get so nervous. Yeah, yeah. But I suppose that's what I love about it, to get yourself into that position. But I'm interested to see what he does then, Tony Finau, if he can go on and just be class, which he already is, and continue and win, or is it going to just...
You just feel like, and a lot of people saying this on social media last night, he gets one win and he wins a lot. Do you know what I mean? I just think it will happen. He gets one win and that is it. And you know what? I love Max because he's so good on social media. He's unbelievable on Twitter. He's a local kid. He was born and raised in LA where the tournament was. Massive Tiger fan. Tiger presented the trophy. Like, he talked about in the press conference afterwards how he used to come to that event as a kid just to get a high five.
I saw that. I did see that tweet.
From Tiger.
And I was getting a trophy
and
from
him. How cool is that? So don't take anything away from Max Homer. He's won 3 times on tour so far. I mean, he's unbelievable talent, but it does beg the question, is Tony Finau a nearly man, or could he continue and hopefully win big?
This has been a proper golf podcast so far.
That was quite
it?
Golfy, that, wasn't it?
Yeah. Should we have a break now and just chill out, let our hair down? It's hard work pretending to care about the PGA Tour.
Well, that's what happens when you listen for 30 minutes of it. But I got proper into it.
That's the thing, again, I don't watch enough golf, but if I'd known that was so good last night, I would have happily put it on. I would have really got into it. It's just the Thursday, the Friday. Oh, I just don't get into it enough, bar the majors.
Exactly. And that is it. Unless Tony Finau was up there competing last night, I don't think I would have bothered to turn it on. And that sounds bad, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it's...
I was watching Married at First Sight.
Australia.
Yeah.
Don't get me started on that.
That's a weird program, isn't it?
I don't understand why the Australia program is coming over here now.
And it's like 2 years old.
Yeah, it's from 2019.
It's really strange.
And it's an hour and a half every day for like weeks on weeks and weeks.
Anyway.
So, I've got a good Derek for you. And as I say every week, Derek is your chance to really zone in. Fully, the phone is still to one side. Have a quick look now. Have a quick scroll if you need it.
I'm going to scroll.
It's from Charlie, but that's all I'm going to say. Obviously, with it being a dear Rick, they're normally anonymous. I think first names works.
Yeah.
If you're not watching this clip now, Rick got his eyes closed. He's really looking very zen.
I'm guessing it's Charlie Woods.
It is Charlie Woods. He said, my dad is better than me and I can't beat him. No, basically, it says, I'm going to try and... It's always that compromise now. I've not wanted to read word for word and make it boring, but not wanting to skip anything. So I'm going to take my time, settle down, cruise along in the car in fifth gear... Ready for a nice dear Rick. Rick's ready. I'm going to keep going because Rick keeps shutting his eyes. I keep dragging it on. Right, here we go. Dear Rick, title is Golf Addiction Help Needed.
Oh, wow.
Having first picked up a golf club in April 2020, I've officially caught the golf bug, which sounds great on paper, doesn't it? I have found myself in the golfing hole of obsessing over anything and everything from technique to equipment. I have managed to get myself to a 24 handicap, which I believe is a great start considering the stop-start nature of the last year for golf with lockdowns, etc. I'm absolutely loving it and playing as much as I can. In 12 months, my travels have taken me to some lovely courses, played in Portugal, etc. And he's played, obviously, loads of golf. My problem is, I think the addiction is getting out of control. During this lockdown, I've been thinking of all the possible ways to improve my game. I feel like I'm nailing down my technique, but practicing it hard in a golf net where my mat sticks up out the grass. Understandable. It has got to the point where whenever I see a new product that boasts innovation technology, I just have to buy a product. A recent example of this is purchasing a Lab putter and an Axis One putter, both of which are very expensive. I'm not sure why I've done this, and it's difficult to see if the investment is worth it when I'm just putting on my carpet at home. So, Rick, do you have any ideas of how I can channel my addiction positively and stop my temptation of buying new products whenever they come out? I just feel like when I see these companies, they sell stuff so well, and it makes me want to buy stuff, which is hard to obviously resist that temptation. I'm really confident I can get down to 14 in the next year, but I really need to have the focus on practice instead of easy equipment fixes. It's a bit longer than that, but that's basically the nuts of it, and that's from Charlie.
Wow. It's tough, isn't it? So he's only playing golf for 10 months.
Yes.
Which isn't a long time at all. And I'm guessing he's an adult.
Yeah, well, I'm just trying to work out, not that it really matters, but those lab putters are expensive, aren't they?
Yeah, well, he's obviously been able to afford that. Yeah. So he must be an adult. He would be working.
You'd think so.
Because it's a weird one, because as kids, we were addicted to golf.
Yeah.
I was addicted to golf.
Yeah.
But I was addicted to playing golf and improving at golf. I wasn't particularly addicted to buying new equipment because I couldn't afford it.
Exactly. See, that's it. If I could have done it at that age, it would have been horrendous.
Yeah. So there's a really good piece of advice, and I think this is something a lot of people could learn from, is as you've seen from many, many videos, even we've done where I've played with like £70 golf clubs, right? Yeah. The latest and greatest golf clubs are great. And you're right. Companies are unbelievable at marketing and making you want to buy them. I get that. But your ability, your skill will get you to a much lower handicap than any equipment ever will.
Yeah.
So in my opinion, you're 24 at the moment, which is a nice start for somebody who's been playing golf for 10 months. And like you say, with the stop and start of is it UK or does it not really say?
I think it's UK.
So with the stop and start nature at the moment, not being able to play loads, to get to 24 is okay. You should be quite proud of that.
Yeah.
I think then this is where you've got to tunnel your addiction, let's say, is reward yourself when you achieve certain goals.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think trying to buy success via new equipment isn't going to work, but treating yourself to something new when you've achieved said goal will give you the drive that you need to actually improve your game. So I remember when I was coaching loads and I have a student come in and go, Rick, I'm really after a new set of clubs because it's going to help me play much better golf. Not really. It might not make you play much better golf, as we've talked about in the controversial custom fitting video that we did. It might not make you play better golf. It might make you feel good. I understand why people want to buy new stuff. But why not treat yourself if you achieve said goal?
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if he's off 24, he doesn't need, from the sound of things, he doesn't need anything at the moment to get him down lower than 20. To get into 18 handicap, let's say.
He's having lessons as well, I should add. So he's doing everything right.
Well, this is where we're going to go with this, Charlie. You need to set a goal and you cannot spend any money on equipment until you get down to an 18 handicap. Mm-hmm. Because then it gives you drive and, you know, 6 shots off your handicap. No special super duper putter is going to do that.
No.
Hard work, skill, playing golf when we can, is what's going to get you down. Like, listen to your coach, listen to how you can improve your technique. Work on those things that you can control as opposed to actually trying to buy exterior products that are going to get you down to said handicap.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
There's nothing wrong with being addicted to golf, i.e. that wanting to learn everything and wanting to get fully into it. But then you've got to try to channel it into actually improvement. And that's the link that I feel like he's missing at the moment.
I was wondering with this, because addictions are not a funny thing, are they? Obviously, no. You know, it could be anything. If he's actually kind of using that word tongue-in-cheek, or if it actually is an addiction, because obviously if it is, it's probably needs to get some help.
What's the definition of it?
Of addiction? Mm. Well, I don't know, but an addiction, if it's a real addiction, would something that really ruins your life, doesn't it, really? Gambling or alcohol or smoking or drug, it's not something that's taken lightly. You might. I'm guessing, I'd like to think he's kind of using that a little bit tongue-in-cheek when he says addiction. But when you look at some of the terminology and the marketing and stuff that the brands put out for new clubs, it does get, you know, higher launching, lower spin, longer longer distances, faster ball speeds. If you are really into your golf and you've got the money to spend, you can understand why some people do get trapped in this world of buying stuff all the time.
Like, is addiction, I'm just looking online now, is it always classed as a negative?
Yeah.
Because it's something you can't control, isn't it?
Yeah, it's normally seen as being, what would you say, almost over the top to some degree, wouldn't it?
The fact of condition being addicted, it basically means you can't control it. That's the big thing. Like, you've got no control over it. So it depends, like say, taking it on a much more serious route, as you're mentioning there. If it is a proper addiction and you literally cannot stop buying stuff, because spending is an addiction, spending in golf might be addiction, that's where you may want to seek help and you may want to get advice. And, you know, even just anybody listening now, if this story might resonate with you, but for a different reason. It might not be an addiction to golf. It might be addiction to, we've had, you know, even people, I'm sure you won't mind, Tubes on.
Yeah, yeah.
Even like Robbie Williams, where they've said they've had addictions in the past and how they've dealt with it and how they've got help. So if you do need help, do seek it, definitely. But I think in this instance, like I say, just trying to reward yourself when you achieve certain goals, try and kind of get away from this idea that you can buy success, and I think you'll enjoy your golf a lot more.
Been a very serious podcast, there, hasn't it? I don't know.
That was deep.
How far in are we? Because we need to turn this shit right around. What are we on here?
Guys, even dropping S-bombs. 38 minutes.
I said shit, not shit.
Oh, then you said it.
Turn this shit around. Sorry, when we do an intro after, we'll have to warm people. There's been the odd swear word.
How
long is it?
38.
People like swearing.
People will like the fact, if you said it at the start, people will be waiting 38 minutes just to hear you say that.
Right, okay. I feel quite under pressure today, Rick. I'm going to open up a little bit
here. You're going to get a very, what's the right word? Not very nice, a message off your father later.
No, my dad will like it. So, obviously, last week's podcast, we touched on this earlier, was designed to be talking about the Nike thing with obviously me and you for the podcast listeners, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Now, obviously, we've filmed the podcast, so we thought, well, it'd be rude not to put said clip on the second YouTube channel.
Correct.
Then we decided, let's put it on the main channel.
The story was so good.
It was such a good story. And I like the fact that it was you being honest and open to the audience. The reception we've had, as we touched on before, in terms of views and watch time and comments, has been fantastic. But I've had a roller coaster week off the back of this.
I have a little bit weirdly, but go on, I'll go with you first.
Yeah, because, so if you remember, last Monday, came in here, my car was faulty, right?
It was.
It still is. Started off a bit, Then we did a podcast that went amazingly, I thought. It was a good one. So I was feeling pretty good about myself, feel on top of the world, right? Tuesday comes, we drop the video on the main channel.
This is your first time being on the main channel. Yeah, I kind of keep forgetting this.
The first time on, within the first 10 minutes, hour, the video was breaking records. So I'm feeling good, right? The video's going well, podcast's going well. Then I started to read some of the comments.
Oh.
And I was thinking of an analogy to how I explain what it's like reading comments. It's almost like, I don't know why I've thought this analogy, because I've been out on the dating game for a long time, obviously. But imagine you go on a first date, right? And you get home, you think it's gone well. And somebody said to you, the girl or the boy, whatever you've been on a date with, is texting the friend now about the date. Do you want to see what they've said or not?
Oh.
How tempting it is to go, absolutely, I do want to see what they've said. But you know, by taking that risk and looking at that WhatsApp chat, that Facebook Messenger, you're going to see, date with Ricky Shields was good, he's a charmer. Or it's going to say, oh, I don't really like him, he's boring, all he talks about his golf. That's the risk you're taking, right, isn't it?
On a scale of huge magnitude. Like it's a first date with 400,000 people in a day.
Yes. So I looked at the comments, and I couldn't help but look at the bad ones about me. And by Wednesday morning, I was quitting the podcast. You were going to get a text that I was quitting. There were some comments that were like, this guy is ruining it. I want to listen to Rick, and he's ruining it. He's jumping in all the time. I think, for Christ's sake. But
I'm sorry about those comments. I shouldn't have left those.
I deleted them. But after a couple of days, I took time to reflect on it, and I feel a bit better now. But it's just hard to not want to see the comments. But I also understand that a lot of people that don't know what the podcast is, I've seen a video from you, wanted to hear from you, and there's some random person who don't have a clue who I am, who I is. And it's getting emotional. And then it's also like, obviously we're always asking for people to leave reviews on Apple, okay? This is quite funny, I'm going to read this out now. But the risk is, when you do that, you don't know which way it's going to go. Oh, it's not showing me. I'll try and get my internet back on. But I'm trying to get to it. The world of social media, it is tough, isn't it? And you obviously know this as much as anybody, that you can't have your cake and eat it, Rick, can you? Can't have the number one golf podcast in the UK and cry and people say you've got a whiny voice.
No. It's a really weird one. Obviously, certainly, hardcore podcast listeners know who you are, know how we communicate to each other. Mm-hmm. We work together, we speak together every single day. So it's a very relaxed, matey kind of relationship, where on the podcast, on the main channel, people might have been like, oh, I'm not normally here just hearing Rick speak. I'm not here hearing anyone else speak. So definitely it was a bit of a weird kind of reception. And I think because it was so, it wasn't planned, it wasn't scripted, it was so kind of off the cuff the way we talk. And that's how we talk, you know, we talk how we talk. And, you know, if you jump in, I jump in, it doesn't really matter. So I wouldn't take too much offense for that. But I think social media, like you're right, it is a very tough place. And I'd like to say you get used to it, but you don't really, because all that happens, it just goes up on scale. So even probably my first ever video, I already received one negative comment and 10 lovely comments. Fast forward however many years, I'd get 10 negative comments, 100 positive comments. Fast forward a few years, you get 100,000 nice comments and 10,000 negative comments. So it's just on scale. That's all it is. It just happens on scale. You always get a ratio between nice comments and negative comments, because that's just the way the world works. It's just when you get bigger views, you get more negative comments.
What's
as well
the worst
as
part is, though, I've had loads of nice comments, don't get me wrong, loads of comments on the podcast ratings and stuff, people saying that we do a good job, whatever, and they might say, oh, guys, a good addition, whatever, and I love that. But what frustrates me is you can't, that could be 10 comments, but the one that says something negative, you cling on to that more.
It's a bit like golf again. How many times do you, after golf, remember the one bad shot?
Mm.
You might have played brilliant. You might have shot everything, would have been on to perfect plan all day, and you forget about the lucky bounce you got on number three. You forget about the fact that the ball lipped in on number six, or whatever it may be, or you towed it and got lucky on eight. You remember the shot where you slightly heeled it, found the bunker and plugged in the face.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you remember. And that's what you go in the clubhouse and speak about for the rest of the round, or go back home and tell your family about. It's the one bad shot, because that's the one that ruined you. It's the one that you remember annoyingly. I learned something.
Go on.
How to hold the mic. Have you noticed anything different today? I'm grasping it like I'm not scared of it.
Do I look scared of it?
No. Okay. This is like a comment. How was to me. It before? So apparently I was like, I can't even do it now. I was like this, like I was almost like scared pencil. Of it. Where now I'm like grabbing it, like
you are grabbing that,
like
mic.
Proper grabbing it around the base properly.
So that sounds a bit weird.
It doesn't go anywhere. I'm putting it really close to my mouth.
It's taking a turn for the worst. But that's why I feel like today I'm a bit down in tone. And I don't mean to be down in tone. It's just that hitting the high levels of number four and trending, it's good for you, it's good for me, but it comes with a couple of negative comments, and I'm fine with it. I'm honestly not annoyed, but if you do want to leave a good comment on and say how good I am, please do, because I really need it right now. So that's enough golf for today.
Okay.
Let's throw in a nice couple of chilled out vibes on the Facebook questions.
I like it.
So what I've started doing now every Monday is asking on the Facebook group for people to put the questions on there. So, but then I do what I've started again doing is turning off comments once we start recording the show. It's not fair that people leave them and don't get them even seen.
Good idea.
So if you want your question answered, keep an eye on the Facebook group on Monday mornings or email them to podcast@rickshields.com.
Perfect.
So a couple of little quick fires ones really, but elaborate if you want to.
Okay.
I've got time.
I like this.
This is from Reese, and he said, the biggest mistake you have made launching and working within the social media arena.
Ooh.
I like the word arena.
Biggest mistake. Should have set up a tech channel.
Yes. Get loads of views.
Or a car channel.
Yeah.
I think if I'd have done it in any other industry, I'd have become a car reviewer.
But that would be hard to start, though, wouldn't it? What would you start in your... What did you used to have? A Peugeot? Was it a Peugeot?
A Citroen C2.
What's one I'm thinking two of, those, though? The RCZ. The
Peugeot RCZ.
Yeah.
I love that car, you know.
Yeah?
It became much more of like a...
Hairdresser car, I thought.
Like a negative, yeah, vibe. But I loved it.
How old when you got that
car? It's
like
a Batmobile. I remember seeing it on a poster. So, literally, I was driving home from Manchester one day, me and Claire, in my little C2.
Yeah.
I had big rims on it. One of those radios where you could, like, flip it out. It used to have, like fish that used to swim across the screen. And I used to take it out and put it in my pocket and take it with me because it was, like, 200 quid or whatever.
You were a proper chav, weren't you?
Yeah. I had my suspension lowered. I had red suspension springs or whatever they're called. Yeah, loved it. Crashed that.
Standard.
Got another C2. A little bit older now, didn't update it as much.
Did you rag it?
When I talk about C2, I'm talking literally like, if people in America, they wouldn't have had a Citroen C2, like the car would have got squashed. It's like, I don't even know the equivalent
to in America. A bit bigger than a smart car.
Yeah, it's not great. Like three doors, you had seats in the back, but very, very small. Anyway, ended up, did I crash that? No, I didn't crash that one. Then I got an RCZ, a Peugeot RCZ, which is like a, it's like a Peugeot sports car, 2 litre, load, two seats.
Name on the side.
Name on the side. Massive boot, massive. This really cool glass, like window at the back that was curved, like which made it look much more like a Batmobile. And it was like an Audi TT mixed with a Batmobile, but dead cheap. Like
in
retrospect,
to...
I can't remember how much I paid for it now, but it wasn't like ridiculously expensive for something that was so sporty, and I loved it. I had it for 5 years. I remember getting the lease on it for 5 years. I thought I won't keep it for five. I didn't want to give it back after five. I loved it.
I remember
that
car driving to Trafford Golf Centre, and it'd be there part on the right. You used to park it not on a beige.
Everyone would see your name on the side of it, on the back of it. You know what? That actually gave me a lot of business.
Bet it did.
Like a lot. And that wasn't so much people driving past asking, like driving past and beeping at me going, can I book a lesson? It was more that when I parked it where I parked it, that was the main important factor because people knew I was in. So if somebody said to the front desk, oh, by the way, has Rick got a spot available today? I'm seeing he's in. They'll look in my diary and go, oh yeah, he's got 12 o'clock free.
Yeah.
So that's how it brought in a lot of business.
Can you remember the original question now?
Biggest mistake in the social media arena.
I know one, but I'm not going to come on to that. That we've done? Yeah, I'm just literally not going to come on to it now. But in the second bonus podcast coming tomorrow.
I haven't dreamed about that.
No, it's nothing.
The way you delivered that line, it's just, like, you know what it's all about. It's like, yeah, don't talk about it. I'm going to go, biggest mistake. Should be able to answer this pretty quickly, shouldn't I? But I'm struggling.
The thing is, though, I think with mistake, you start to think of negative things you've done. But it doesn't have to be.
I don't think I would have started any earlier because I think I started at exactly the right time.
In hindsight, I can think of things we would have done differently on like YouTube and stuff. But again, you wouldn't have known. Like just like less course vlogs and stuff or like different formats. Maybe not three separate parts. But you wouldn't have known.
Yeah, at the time, it felt like it was
well,
working,
exactly. That's the thing.
Like...
You only know that from...
And it was
hindsight.
So new. It was so new. Yeah, I don't know.
Nothing, you're just perfect.
Thanks.
This question, and I'm really sorry I can't pronounce this gentleman's name. It's F Faust. So I really don't know how to say that.
Forced,
possibly. And I think he's saying it's Bozzy. So I'm really sorry if that's, I've butchered that, but I don't know how to. Sounds a silly question, but I think there's something in this. Do coloured and white golf balls deliver the same distance and spin, etc.? So you've got a Pro V1 in white versus a yellow, a Strixon Z Star white versus yellow.
From what I believe it's exactly the Pro V1 didn't make a yellow Pro V1 for so long because they couldn't quite get the colouring right and still keep the performance. But I'll say now it's the same performance.
I always think yellows feel harder though.
I do.
And it might be in my head.
And I always feel like black wedges feel harder.
Mm.
But there's no real evidence behind that. So that's the only thing it would change. I think technically if you test it on a robot, you'd see no difference. But we react different to different types of products. So that might be how you might hit a yellow ball and a white ball exactly the same, but one will feel different to the other, mm-hmm. just because of your mindset.
Paul has asked, this is a good question, this. I play the same course every week. How to break 90 and keep consistent?
At the same course every week? Mm. Like, is she, how close, is Paula?
Paul.
Depends how close he is. But I think trying to think about the golf course, yes, it's the same course every week. Try not to think about that too much. I think that's where a lot of people make the mistake where let's say they get to the third hole here at the Marriott, which is the par three down the hill.
I always hit 8-iron here.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Like fourth hole, actually. Like, I always hit the same club from this location, but the location's different today. The temperature's different, the tee's different, the pin's different, you're swinging differently, whatever it may be. So when you can, assess every single shot as a new shot. Yes, drive on experience that you've got from that hole, knowing that I can actually go long left here and not get punished, but I definitely can't go short right. Yeah. That's okay, because that doesn't change week on week. But where the actual shot that you're playing will change every single week. To do it consistently, it's just a case of getting the reps in, playing as much as you can, and trying to, you know, it's hard to say what can consistently.
Would you see any 90. Value? This might be, say it's a par 72, so we can shoot 17 over par. Would you see there any benefit in almost playing it like that every par is one more than what it actually is? Or so say, for example, it's a par 4, but you know, to get a shot there, to play it like a par 5, or do you think you should still play it as a par 4?
I don't know. Certainly when I was growing up, I would play it like that, thinking it would work. But I don't know if sometimes I went with it almost like too cautiously, almost too negatively. Like, because let's say a par 4, a short par 4, and you get a shot on it and call it a par 5, but it's only a 260-yard par 4, let's say. What are you doing there? Are you hitting 7-9 off the tee? And I don't know. I think it's just making sure that you don't compound errors. I think that's the biggest thing. When something's going wrong, it's not compounding. You know, I mean, that again, going back to that Max Homer thing that we talked about before, him stuck behind the tree. I mean, for most golfers, they would have made more of a hash of that. Mm-hmm. There's no way they would have made par. It's just taking your medicine when you need to, but also taking the calculated risks and just not, you know, hitting the terrible shots and then following up with another terrible shot. And that's easier said than done, but try not to, oh, that's really poppy, try not to kind of compound.
Oh, when you spoke,
I just pop the mic.
It's because you're trying to get too familiar with the microphone and hold it differently.
Well, no, I went back to normal there. That's how normally I'd hold it.
Yeah, you don't. Somebody look said committed.
I look like I'm like scared of it.
Really do. Yeah, so I see like it now. I look really scared of it. Dead anxious, sweating, shaking like a dog. Right, this is one I'm going to answer first, just because change, from Chad Trafford. Okay, nice surname.
Yeah.
Is an electric trolley classed as lazy? Now, the reason I was trying to jump in on that first is because my golf club I grew up at, from being 8 years old to 20-odd, Huffwood Golf Club, it's proper, proper hilly.
They always said you have to be like a mountain sheep.
Yeah, exactly. And as a junior, I got my first electric trolley at the age of probably 12 or something. It wasn't a great one. That was like from Macro. It was like its kind of own brand. It was about £200, and it ended up falling apart. I wanted a more premium one, but didn't quite get one until a couple of years later. But we used to get a few, actually, as a junior, you know, growing up with one, you did get a few of the members kind of joking, rolling, oh, you're too young to need one of those. But it wasn't ever a question of, I can't walk around this golf course with my clubs on my back, because I could easily, I could now, something at that age, I was dead fit or whatever. But it was more a case of, I'm a junior golfer that takes it quite seriously, probably too seriously. I want to play as well as I can. And I know walking up the whole 18, which is really, really hilly, after playing another 17 holes on a hilly golf course, that if I'm fresher to hit my next shot into the green, I'm going to hit a better shot probably than if I'd have carried my clubs. So it's not always about being lazy if an electric trolley, it's more about the fact of it keeps you fresher. And if you want to play better golf, I mean, silly analogy, someone said to you, you've got to hit a shot onto a green, right, from 150 yards. And if you hit the green, you're going to get your mortgage paid off. And if you miss the green, you're going to have to pay your mortgage forever, let's just say, whatever. But you've got two options. You can either hit the shot by having a few warm-up shots, nice and relaxed, and then doing it, or you can carry a golf bag for 4 hours beforehand and then do it. You'd obviously say, well, I want to hit it without carrying a golf bag for 4 hours. It's going to get heavy on my arms and stuff and make me feel tired. And it's kind of the same concept. It's a bit silly analogy, I know, but the same kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't think it's lazy, but what do you think?
I don't think it's lazy. I've had spells of using electric trolleys. You know, I do like using electric trolleys. I think in some regards, it's a slightly counter. I think it's almost less than lazy because you have to actually plan it more slightly. Yeah. Like you have to have the battery charge. You've got to get it out of your car. You've got to get it all set up where if you're actually carrying your bag, you just chuck your clubs in the car and you get on the other side, chuck them out and you're off and running. So I don't think it is lazy.
Apparently, electric trolleys aren't that big in America, weirdly. So American, listen, I'm sure you know what they are. It's like a pull trolley, but electric, and it goes in front of you. But I don't think they're a big thing just yet.
It's because... I don't think walking's a big thing in America, well, playing golf. Golf carts, yeah, they call them out there. Like, unbelievably popular. Even, like, little golf courses all have carts.
Mm.
I don't mind playing in
buggies. If it's one where you can go right to your ball. If it's on a path and then you're 50 yards left, you've got to take... Or some of them, like, my old club, you couldn't take it off the path. So if you were in the rough 50 yards to the right, you have to take, what, 4 clubs at your bag to then see what you need. And it's just like, it's not that good.
Yeah. I don't mind it if it's literally 9 holes with a mate and you're just literally just whizzing around. Mate's day.
Drinks, isn't it?
Drinks. I've never played with music, though.
No, I'm not into that.
I've never, ever played with music.
I think it's trying too hard to be cool. But if you do it, not hating on you, but it's not for me.
I've got a few reasons behind it. One, I'd be way too... If you literally had the golf course to yourself,
mm-hmm.
and it's hard to believe, but if you had a complete golf course to yourself, yeah, blare music as loud as you want. Like, I've got no problem with that if it's in your group. If everyone in your group is happy with that. Where I would just find it weird is that I feel like I'm always turning the volume up, turning it down as you're going past groups, because inevitably you are going to go past other players. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, and what are they going to think about your blaring music? And then what music do you choose? Like that, I find that really hard.
Chilled hip hop.
Is that where you'd go? Old school.
Maybe, yeah, just like a kind of, it's there, but it's not intrusive.
Yeah.
Because then you get sick of the song. Just bubble in, just a nice beat.
Like in a cool wine bar.
Very much like the music on your videos when you're playing, and you do a little bit of B-roll section. It's just like, yeah, wine bar music is there. Isn't that weird that when you're in a bar and there's music on for an hour, but someone said when you came out what song was on, you couldn't say a single
not
one.
Not a
chance. Weird, that, isn't it?
Because it all like blends into one,
just
there, really?
Just background, just a nice level.
Yeah.
A couple more of these questions, and this is something, again, I've got an opinion on, but I want to hear yours, obviously. From Reese, within how far is a reasonable gimme putt? And he's put 3 foot on close, ?
I feel like Reese has already asked the question.
It might have been a different Reese.
How close?
How close is a reasonable gimme putt?
The old rule of thumb is inside your putter grip.
Mm.
You know that's
like 18 inches roughly.
No, as in like you put your hole.
Oh,
your,
right, yeah. And
you
then
put
it's,
your putter head in the hole.
So that's going to be what about?
Well, a putter 34 inches.
It's going to be about 18 inches again, isn't it, roughly?
Take 7 inches off, roughly.
Oh, sorry, yeah, I'm with you.
So you're inside, so it's up to the steel.
So, yeah, about
28 inches. Yeah, 2 foot. Just over 2 foot, 2.5 foot.
Yeah, I'd never really do gimmies.
You don't play them or you don't give them?
I'd give them. If I was playing with you and you wanted, you were just having a knockabout if you wanted. But I don't get the point in it. I know, again, people might whinge at this, but for me, if it's that close to knock it in, why would you not knock it in? Maybe in COVID times with the whole flag thing, kind of, but in normal situations, if it's literally so close? Because again, last week we had this conversation about holding ones and what's real or what's not, and I'm not that bothered about that. But if I'm playing with you and I put it close in 3 and it's a tap in for a par 4 and I don't tap it in, you give it me, I've not really made a 4, have I? I've hit 3 strokes.
But what are we playing here? Just casual golf or match play?
Well, if it's match play and you give me a putt, I'd be mad not to take it because I could, in theory, miss it. Anything can happen. So I would take it if you give me a match play. If we're playing a casual game of golf here, anywhere, I'd never, ever... And it actually annoys me if I chip it or put it closer and knocks it back. Yeah. It does me head because you've not made... I know it's how I think. I know it's a bit weird, but if I'm writing a scorecard, especially even just for a practice round, and you pass me one back without asking it, really, like, not so I have a go, but in my head, I'd be well annoyed.
Do you think gimme should exist at all?
No, what's the point? If it's a tap in, why not tap it in?
Why actually do they exist?
Is it to speed up play, or is it just a kind of friendly in match play, possibly?
I feel like match play is so fast anyway, typically.
Well, yeah, I just don't get it at all. I do get it, but I don't like playing it. And also, imagine, right, imagine we're playing a match now and you're in the bunker and you stiff it. So even to 6 inches, you know, you're going to get the putt. But part of the nice thing is knocking it in to make the up and down, not just having it roll back to you.
Why do I not know the answer to why gimmies exist?
Probably because you know nothing about golf, really. It's all a big lie.
Wow. I need to research that for next week. Next week, I'm going to talk about why gimmies exist.
Be interested to hear people's thoughts on that, maybe in the Facebook group about gimmies, and do you play gimmies or not? Because, again, nothing against them. I just personally wouldn't... I don't get the point.
Yeah. For me, it's just, regardless of social play, because the rules almost go out of the play, it's more match play. Why do gimmies exist in match play?
I don't know. A lot of things... Could we half a hole? We can half a hole. You can just both pick up from anywhere in a match play, can't you?
Yeah.
You could always miss a hole if you wanted to, as far as I know.
I find that really
Call it
weird.
Half. Another question. It's a good one from Kane. He said, just ordered a set of Titleist 718 AP2s. What's your thoughts on them?
Solid set of irons.
Great set of irons. Done. For me, I've got T100s, which is essentially the newer version. I'd happily have the AP2s. Yeah, they're
AP2s
no different.
So good.
Unless you bother having the latest and greatest, they're no different. We also, you saw this, I know, we gave away some stickers, or we're giving away some stickers. The last set, I only posted this week, so I'll hold my hands up. It took a while to get them. The reason was, had a little envelope, didn't have any stamps. So I had to get 3 stamps off my mum to do it, because I gave away 3. But I thought, I enjoyed the process. I wrote a little handwritten note in there as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, said sorry for the delay. Something like that from Guy.
Oh, nice.
Didn't put your name on. No. Absolutely no way. You did nothing for it, so you don't have any clout. But we put a thing on the Facebook group again where people could win a few more.
Okay.
So I have picked 3 winners, one of which is a bit annoying, and I'm going to come on to that. So the winners were Tim Curry, Gareth Waite, and Lewis James. I messaged them all and said, you've won. Let me know your address, and I'll send them out to you. It's not his fault, but Gareth Waite actually lives in Australia, so he's come back and said that he is English, he's from England, but he lives in Australia. He said if it's too expensive to post him, don't worry about it. So I'm gonna have a look at posting them. I don't know how much it is it just the same price? I don't
really
understand.
It's more expensive,
so we'll put that on Rick's card.
I was gonna say, I'll treat
you to that. But I said if we don't do for any reason, I'll give you a big shout out in the podcast. So Gareth Waite, you're my mate, and let's have a game of golf and have a date,
and we can't wait.
Anything else could rhyme with that? No. But Gareth Waite, they were just promising him a shout out, so he's had one.
Oh, his name was Waite. I rhymed Waite with Waite. That's pretty terrible. But either way, all right, Gareth, you'll get a shout out. I'm guessing that means you're not getting your sticker.
Well, if you're paying for it, then he's getting a sticker. I'm not paying for it.
He's getting a shout out and a sticker.
Well, last time I had to buy the envelopes
myself.
And
he lives in Australia.
And he lives in Australia. I bought the envelopes, didn't expense them. I think I got a pack of. They were really good because they're perfect size for the sticker. They're just a bit bigger. So I think I got 12. So that's why I was kind of feeling generous to give more away. So if you pay, so I don't care about Gareth getting his sticker or not. But if you care and you want him to get it, you pay.
But he's just got a shout out.
Well,
and you're still getting a shout out.
I'll make Gareth wait.
I feel like he needs to send us something.
You send us the money, you can have your sticker.
No, you can have your sticker. What was the criteria? Because it was
the criteria was annoyed me.
In theory, quite simple, right?
In theory, it should be simple. And
the criteria was you have to be a subscriber to the Rick Shields Golf Show YouTube channel.
Yes.
Which, if you don't know, it's the second YouTube channel. It was originally Rick Shields Daily. It became Rick Shields Podcast. It's now Rick Shields Golf Show. It's soon to become Rick Shields Clips.
And then it's going to be Guy Chan at Golf Show. So make sure you subscribe.
Then it'll become Rick Shields' car review channel.
Yes.
But either way, we're getting up to 45,000 subscribers. You have to be a subscriber to that. Leave a screenshot. And people were literally taking pictures of the dog and uploading it.
Got beans on toast pictures. No,
literally, no. Not getting the gist. So you have to be a subscriber of the second channel.
We'll do more. We've actually run out of stickers.
Did you not give me a big batch?
I gave you a big batch, but I don't know where your big batch
is
gone.
I've not leave you for anything.
I've put mine over the top of my Apple logo on my computer. It's like when you see them on the BBC and they cover up the Apple logos, don't want to advertise brands. I don't want to give Apple any more free publicity. You know, I'm an influencer and stuff. So I don't
that with all my Nike clothing.
Yeah. Well, I did it, didn't I? I stuck one on. That was the other logo I stuck on. So, I don't know how far we're in. I feel like I'm getting into this now more. I was a bit uptight before, and I feel like I've relaxed now. I had to get off my chest.
I think the cameras and stuff is...
Yeah, the cameras aren't great, really.
We're hoping to get a new filming studio so we can set it up a lot easier. Quick update. Walk 18, we've raised 30 grand now.
That's ridiculous. You've done very well.
So, I've got 7 more days to go. Yesterday, weirdly.
Did you do it yesterday?
I did post a picture.
Oh, sorry.
And do you know why?
Why?
Friday, when I posted me dressed as a horse.
That was really good. I actually laughed out loud.
We lost the most amount of followers ever on Instagram.
Oh, wow.
So, like 400 people unsubscribed, unfollowed.
Did you notice that I liked your picture?
First time ever.
Never
like any picture that I post ever. Most of the time because you posted it.
Yeah.
But
no, I never like your pictures because it feels like a lot of them are my own in a way, even though it's like your stuff. And I thought, actually, I always know if either like what it's going to be. I had no idea and I saw that. And I actually liked it. I thought, only if you'll realise.
I've been keeping the fancy dress outfits a bit of a secret.
Yeah,
I really didn't want to do it Friday. Like, really didn't want
to
do
it. Did you take
it.
One of the children with you?
Yeah.
Is that why? Because you felt a bit less of a cock?
Well, yeah, because it's a bit of a shield. Like, I feel like I'm with a kid. It's all right. He's with a kid.
Yeah.
He's not a complete weirdo. Walking around the street as Mario or...
That's the best so far. I tell you what I've actually done, I'll be honest with this. I've had a few people in just general work phone calls this last week who said, oh, you know, you're doing a great thing with the Walk 18. I've said, you know what? I'm doing absolutely nothing. It was all Rick's idea. I've been on one walk with him, but other than that, I've done nothing. It was his idea, he's done it all. So I've given you, I would have liked to take some of the praise, but I've not done.
So yeah, I didn't post it yesterday because I didn't want to lose any more followers. So I've got one more week. I did 5.5 miles yesterday.
Wow.
Got completely lost.
It's a tough one with that because, like you said, every time you post a picture, it gets it in people's minds again. It might get a bit more donations.
More donations coming, definitely.
But also, I can understand people might get a little bit. So, but equally, we're close to the end now. Yeah. You can really ramp it up, yeah, and exactly. Then it's one big hurrah.
Done. No more walking.
Yeah.
Start to hitting golf balls. No, it has been amazing. Like I say, each day I've been getting out there, doing it with golf clubs. We've got one more fancy dress on Friday, which I've not quite picked yet, but I think we're in for a special one. Hopefully the weather's a bit nicer. But yeah, the support has been amazing. And it would be phenomenal, and I'm not putting any pressure on anyone, it'd be phenomenal to get it up to like 36,000
because that would be good
double
number.
The target that we set.
That would be a very good number. But regardless, I think the amount is... It's probably exceeded what I thought originally, I'll be honest.
Me too.
Because I think I saw a comment actually from a listener called Colin Wallace, and I think you replied to me. I don't think he meant it in a negative, because he's a good guy. He listens to all the podcasts. He said that, because you put a screenshot of how much you've raised and how many people have actually put money in, I think it was 2,000, yeah. And he said something like, with 1.5 million subs, I would have thought more people would have donated, but great thing you're doing, whatever. And I understand what he means. It's easy to look and think, you've got 1.5 million subscribers, yet only 2,000 people have donated. But it's one thing asking people clicking subscribe on a free YouTube channel. We just press one button. They're actually putting money out of their own pocket that everybody needs right now in this tough time to give away essentially to charity.
You're not getting
totally
any
different kettle of fish.
Like charity, you're not getting anything in return for it. Apart from a nice fuzzy feeling inside. You're not getting a product. You're not getting... So I was overwhelmed at 2,000
people.
It's
a lot. It is a hell of a lot. I mean, sounds like... Bad math. Is it 1%? No, it's 0.1%.
Yeah, so
but that
it's not
just,
a lot, but
it is a lot yeah. Still.
And people have literally been unbelievable. Like, people have donated like hundreds of pounds. Like I've had an anonymous donation of £1,000 and things like that. So it's like,
you know what's weird though with that? Like that is you proper respect that person for doing it. But also weirdly, when someone's put £2 in, I massively respect that because
God,
you think 100%. The chances of that person, it's that without being sounding horrible, it probably means quite a lot. To them, so
yeah, yeah.
The fact they've put £2 in is it might be like a junior. It's really kind of like sincere, like yeah. A young junior's not got much pocket money and they've put £2 in. It's really yeah. Nice, that, isn't
every
it?
Every single donation has been amazing. So like I say, 7 more days and it's been good. And people have been asking me, have I been losing weight? I think I would have been if I wouldn't have been eating quite as bad. But
you've been eating bad again?
No, not too bad actually.
Medium. Another thing I actually got pulled up on. So another have a go at Guy Week. This was an ingest though. Again, on the podcast last week, I asked you what you had from your McDonald's order, and somebody, I can't remember his name now, said, Guy, why didn't you ask Rick about his Indian order? Have you got something against takeaways?
Oh, God.
It was a joke, but I haven't got a thing about Indians. But
chicken tikka masala.
Standard for you, that.
I don't even call it, like, I don't even look at the menu.
Yeah.
Like, I just have that.
The usual.
Yeah.
What was that you used to do? When you could go in and get a free beer or something and then come home?
Oh, that was the best. So I'd order it. I tell Claire let's say it's 8 p.m. right, kids are in bed.
I like the detail.
Claire's chilling out. I've lit the candles for her, put the fire on, poured her a glass of wine. Should we get an Indian? Let's get an Indian. So quick order. So it's 5 minutes down the road, not even far from me. They don't do delivery though, annoyingly, but I don't mind it because use a little tactic. So I ring up, say, you know, hey it's Rick, we've already got you, it's already in the oven. It's already in the oven. And we're like, great. So I say, how long is it going to be? And they say, probably about half an hour. I go, mm-hmm. great, perfect. So I said to Claire, it's going to be 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. So she goes, oh, brilliant, 20 minutes, that's great. So 15 minutes after putting the phone down, I best jump in the car now, love. I best get going. I don't want to be late. Mm-hmm. You're hungry. I'm hungry. You know, jump in the car. 5 minutes. It's literally 5 minutes down the road. And when I get there, they're like, oh, Rick, you're early. Don't worry, sir. Do not worry. I'll have a little cheeky beer. Because you can. Yeah. You can have a beer and drive.
You can as long as stay under the limits. You have one beer only.
One beer.
Half pint, normally.
Half pint. I have just a pint. And I feel like it's going to put me in trouble somehow. But
no, it's not. You're allowed to have one beer.
And I know full well that the curry's not ready yet. Claire texts me, what's happening? Oh, they're running late again. Dead busy in here, running late. Won't be long. Have my beer, get my food, off I go. So I've not made them wait. The food's not cold. The food's perfect. Mm-hmm. I've had a little cheeky beer. Claire just thinks it's delayed.
Everyone's a winner?
She goes, it's always delayed. Why don't you just go a bit later? Yeah, but the one time I go a bit later, it won't be delayed.
But then the problem is then Claire goes on like TripAdvisor and leaves a review and says, 4 out of 5 stars. Food's phenomenal, but they're always bloody late.
They always tell my husband 10 minutes before it's ready.
Yeah. Good. Where are we up to? Length?
Too long.
Is it?
Yeah.
Past an hour?
Oh, comfortably.
Is it? What, go and tell me.
112.
Oh, my God.
I think we're done.
Yeah.
Some videos coming out this week. Tomorrow you'll see a new Titleist driver. Friday you'll see a new Bridgestone golf ball. And next week, well, we've heard news, rumours. We're not confirmed on this yet, but golf's going to be open on the 29th of March.
Well, everyone will know by now.
Oh, yeah.
So hopefully it's 29th of March or earlier. 8th of March would be great, but sometime in March.
Yeah. Well, the good news, the kids are looking to go back on the 8th of March.
Yeah.
So between the 8th of March and 29th, chill out time.
Loads of podcasts.
Chill out time.
2 a week. We've actually potentially got a big one lined up for next week with kind of just penciling it in.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be really good, actually.
That genuinely be really good. And,
It's funny with the podcast. We've mentioned it a few times is, you know, when we ask people or when a conversation starts, what's your favourite podcast? It seems to be the ones with guests because they're the most memorable, I suppose. Mm-hmm. It's dead easy to go, oh, I really love that one with Tubes or
John Robbins, Tor Caddy,
or Robbie Williams or MKBHD or whatever it may be. Because they're dead easy. Episode 57, when we talked complete nonsense about whatever.
Yeah.
Which I think actually might have been...
Which Guy ruined with his whiny voice. 1 star. Pathetic. Aww. Pathetic.
That's not the case. So guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll see you next week. Don't forget to subscribe to everything and we'll see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.